Welcome back to the continuation of Steam Spy Solo Stories. I'm Mark, and my character Roland Doyle has just freed a Dasfort reporter from a Russian prison in order to exchange her for a friend who's being held by the Diamond Club. However, it turns out that this reporter is going to be killed if I turn her over, so I have to make a difficult decision here. Everybody with me so far? Now, I have a confession to make. I usually record these episodes back to back, just keep going, do them all at once. But this time I had to take a break. I had to walk away and think this one through. I had no idea how to approach this situation. But eventually I just stopped and asked myself, what would Mission Impossible do? So now I think I have a plan. I don't know if it's a good plan. We'll find out, but it is a plan. So, let's see how this goes, shall we? We're going to return to the shore where the yacht is moored. I think I said there was an old dock there that they found in this secluded little inlet. And Irene is going to be there with several of her crew, guards, and they're going to be pointing their guns at Yoza. She's going to be held front and center there, so I can plainly see that her life is threatened if I screw them over. But as soon as we approach, of course, some of the guards will stay on her. Some will turn their guns on us. And Lori's the reporter. She and I are going to be just walking out facing them, alone and unarmed. However, Lori is going to be wearing a bag over her head, and she'll have her hands tied behind her back. So I'll be kind of guiding her forward ahead of me. As we approach, I'm going to say, I have your prisoner, Irina, but obviously, now I know your secret, don't I? You had to know that was going to happen. You know nothing. You may have heard her story, but you can't prove anything that she says. It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what your soldiers believe. I assure you, Agent Doyle, they are all loyal to me and the Diamond Club. They may be loyal to the Diamond Club, but are they really loyal to you? At that point, I'm going to pull the bag off Lori's head and reveal that I made her up to look like Irene Dolce, which, obviously, this was our plan. So she's going to help this deception by start yelling things like, "Don't trust her, you idiots! She's an imposter! Get me away from this imbecile!" Now, this might seem like a difficult bluff, but I'm not trying to convince Irene. She knows I'm lying. There's no way I'm going to convince her that she's not the real one. I'm trying to convince all these flunky guards. So, this is going to require a con artist role, and it's still pretty difficult, but I'm going to say I have advantage because Lori is also helping me. Okay, nothing exploded, but I have an 11. That's still a success. I'm going to keep up this deception now. I'm betting that you guards were instructed to kill both of us no matter what happens, weren't you? You need to ask yourself, isn't that what an imposter would order you to do? Just to cover her lies? I don't know that they were ordered to kill us, but obviously, they were planning on killing Lori, so why wouldn't they kill Yoshi and I, too? I'm going to say that it's enough to get the guards confused. They're going to kind of hesitate and look around a bit. It's enough to sow some discord among their ranks, at least. But just to really sell it, I'm going to yell, "That imposter was probably put in place by the Dragon Sect. Did anyone confirm her identity when she came back from Tokyo? That could very well be Swallowtail herself." Now, at this point, I'm going to point the gun at Lori's head, who, like I say, they all think that they're starting to suspect this might be the real Irene Dolce. "If you don't turn over your prisoner, I'll let your real boss here have it." Of course, the real Irene Dolce is going to be furious. She's going to be livid. She's going to be yelling at her guards. Ignore them! They're lying! Kill them! Kill them all right now! Now, some may believe her, but a few are going to be skeptical enough to turn their guns on each other. You know, I no reason to believe anyone's going to blindly obey us, but there should be enough confusion that we should be able to do something here. So once all the guards are kind of looking around and kind of swinging their guns back and forth, I'm going to take on the role of a burglar to run in, swoop in, grab Yoza from the middle of all of them. Medium difficulty, I think. 5. That is not enough. So, a couple of the guards are going to see what I'm up to, and they're going to jump in to stop me. I'm going to have to fight them off. Fortunately, I still have Lori, and now I have Yoza to assist me to kind of fight off the small group of guards. Of course, Lori's hands weren't really tied behind her back, so she immediately pulls her hands out. She's free to move and fight with me. So, let's see. 8. That's a hit. Okay. It's not enough to take out the guards, but I'm not really looking to knock them out or defeat them. I just want to get past them so we can make a run for it. So I'm going to say it was enough for that. So I run in, grab Yosi with Lori, and the three of us are going to just kind of take off running. That means we're now in a chase action. So Lori, Yosi, and I are running away from this group of Diamond Club guards. By this time, you know, once they see this, once we take this kind of action, they're probably all going to realize that I was lying, and they're going to start listening to Irene's orders, and they're going to start organizing and get their act back together. And they are going to be coming after us. They're going to be hot on our heels, and we're going to be trying to race away. 4. That is not enough. So, we cannot get away, but this looks like a place for a plot twist. And I'm going to say, now we can't get away, but I'm going to say they all sweep around and cut off our exit. So they prevent us from running off into the Russian woods. But that opens up an opportunity for us to turn back around and run and jump on Irina's yacht. And we'll try to steal that and get away with that. I have a sailing background, so I'm definitely going to have plenty of advantage on this roll. We turn to this dock in the mooring, jump aboard, frantically throwing off lines. The guards, of course, are going to be kind of shooting at us and coming back after us. Okay, I got an 8. That's good, but it's not spectacular, so I'm going to say we do it. We get up there, we throw off the lines, we pull away from shore. But there's a few guards who jump on deck just as we drift off, and they are going to come after us. They're going to try and stop us. So we still have a small contingency here to fight off. I'm going to grab a machete off the deck. I'll say there's a machete up by the anchor line in case they have to cut the ropes to cut off the anchor. But I'm going to grab that and spin, and that will activate my melee skill. Which means when I jump in to attack the guards, I have that going for me. 9. That does some damage, but not enough. So I kind of keep them at bay. I couple of little flesh wounds, but they come at me again. They are surrounding me. So this time I'm going to try and use a little bit more brute force and go for a pugilist roll. Ha ha! The golden die exploded. Oh, yeah, that's a 16. So, they come at me, they're surrounding me, and my machete just starts swinging. Got a flurry of swords. They're trying to get their guns out and aimed at me, but I do the spinny, stabby, slicing all of the attackers around me. I knock a couple of them overboard and impale the rest, and in seconds, this battle is over. I would assume that while this is going on, Yosa and Lori are going to be taking control of the ship. They'll get the steam engines powered up and going so we can start chugging off to sea. And with a final piratey flourish, I'll leap onto the railing and use my sword to salute Irina and the rest of her thugs who are standing on the shore yelling and screaming at us as we float off into the North Pacific Sea. And that seems like a perfect place to wrap up this mission and turn to our RPG reflection, where we bring in Zach and Logan. Zach and Logan, how are you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
So far, so good.
Doing good.
Excellent. Let's start with Zach this time. What was your first impression of what you just listened to?
Ooh, okay. This was Russian roulette for those that, this will just be tacked on the end of the episode. So yeah. Everybody's going to know that the name of the episode, but I enjoyed it. Very Russian themed episode or series, I guess, which is always fun in spy movies.
Yeah.
Classic.
We get the kind of Russian versus the rest of the world kind of situation. And, I found it very interesting that kind of the jumping off point was trying to help defect this previous dragon sect. She was part of the dragon sect, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. Which is always, another great, great trope for spy stuff. Yeah, that was actually a lot kind of packed into these four episodes.
And, yep. And everybody's defecting, so that was kind of a...
Yeah, we're defecting everyone. So it started off with you defecting this person. And in order to get help, you had to help somebody and defect somebody else. So
right, yeah.
It was kind of going from defect to defect.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. You threw in a couple of those kind of steampunk key flavor moments in there. Like that I love personally. I don't know about anybody else, but I enjoy them.
Yeah.
it was very nice. I love it. And it wasn't too lengthy, but like I said, there was a lot packed in there.
Yeah, it seemed to bounce around a bit.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of movement happening, we start trying to escape from Japan, we end up in Russia in the same episode, like mm-hmm. all over the place, which is kind of fun because it kept it very like, oh, what's happening next? What's happening now? Okay.
Yeah. I try to get that James Bond. Well, any of the classic spy movies have a tendency to kind of go from country to country and have a variety of locations. So, a lot of times I try to bring that in as much as possible. The one before... Mm-hmm. We started in Egypt and had the dirigible flight, the Zeppelin flight, and then ended up in Japan. So, try to get some of that world traveling in.
Right, which is nice because you kind of spread out the different factions
mm-hmm.
Into their different locales.
Yeah.
If you're dealing with these people, you're definitely going to go here and, whatever. So yes. I like it. This session, I guess, was a little interesting because I don't know if we kept it in the episode, but you said yourself you had to take a little bit of a break.
Yes. That was which, a tough spot for me.
Yeah, which is something that you don't do. So I just kind of naturally, I expect there to be a little bit of change between the third episode and the fourth episode, this last episode, just because you didn't do it in one sitting. And so your mind wasn't all in the same place. But I think that last episode still came out strong and you accomplished what you needed to.
Good. Logan, what were some of your first impressions listening?
Well, I mean, Zach's covered a few of those already, but one thing I had a thought on was the transition from escaping to arriving in Russia was very quick, and I was thinking it might have been an interesting place to have like an encounter at sea or some more maybe not consequences, but things happening there that could have changed the story a little bit. But on that same note, I was like, I wonder what it is that was the story choice made or the die roll made for the inspiration in there that changed that. So that wasn't really a thing. That wasn't the important thing. We just redlined that. And that's, I think, maybe in part my lack of experience with the system.
Possibly.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit of lack of experience in the system. And I think a little bit of lack of experience with that inspiration stimulator.
Yeah.
That thing can turn you around a corner real quick.
Right.
just because of, maybe the question you ask and then that combined with the result of the die roll. Can really just shift gears, just like, okay, there we go, now we're going here. So
yeah,
right.
And a little bit of it, I think, might have been, you know, the genre, you know, with a spy theme, espionage, you want an antagonist, you want kind of personal interaction, and I didn't want to get too bogged down into the island survival or survival at sea, that type of thing, which...
Oh, right. You don't want to have to deal with, like, actually getting marooned somewhere. Okay.
Right. For more of a standard adventure game, that might have been some options, but I think part of it was I wanted to get motivated to get with people, because that, I think that's where the espionage thing tends to come out a little bit more.
Yeah, and I can agree with that, because with the whole stranded at sea, you know, anything in transit from what then was point A to point B, what happens in between, if you just get slowed down, that'll just kind of take away from, you know, the overall flavor of the espionage genre.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I could have, this whole thing could have just been the whole survival at sea thing. To some extent, but yeah, I think you're right too. The inspiration stimulator has a tendency to bring in more espionage themed suggestions. I don't even remember what I rolled at the time, but it was something, and it suggested to me that a ship comes along and that's something to interact with, and I have to decide, do I fight this, do I, you know, how do I deal with this in that kind of format? So
yeah, and you kind of went the pirate route, and you commandeered that ship
in the end. Yeah, exactly. Sure.
Right. Yeah, which was really exciting.
Another thing I thought would have been a fun moment, I thought you were going this direction, but I mean it could have gone anyway, but with the awkward moment on the sled where you pile on, I'm like, this is a perfect spot to start like a love triangle weirdness, because you already have an interest somewhere, and then now you've got this moment here, which didn't have to be awkward, but you leaned into it being awkward in the moment because it totally caught you by surprise. I was like, perfect, love triangle, let's make it happen.
That is definitely something that I'm always kind of, and I think I didn't pile on to it too much, because at that point I didn't know too much about her. I didn't know everything, you know.
Right.
I was still a little uncertain about how this was going to play out.
Sure.
But yeah, it definitely ended up that way. And I'm always, you know, not sure how far to go with that
is too far. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's a real fine line to tread.
But but yeah, let's face it, the ending, you know, Russia floating off with both of these women is
there's a few ways to go. A few ways to go.
Yeah, because absolutely, very, very
might
very
get you
true.
Into a little bit of trouble though.
It could. We will have to see where that goes.
Absolutely. Oh man, yeah. But overall, I think this was a pretty good series. In Russian roulette, Mark, is there anything that you want to tease for? I know you usually
I usually do, but this time I have no idea what's coming, but I will say you do not want to miss it, because it really, I don't know what's going to happen, But it's going to be big. They're really, seriously, something very, very big is planned. So stay tuned.
I think we're all looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
That's it for this episode of Steam Spy Solo Stories. You can find all of our episodes on soundcloud.com/tabletopradiohour. You can also follow us on Twitter at tabletopcast or on facebook.com/tabletopradiohour. You can contact us at our email, tabletopradiohour@gmail.com, and find our website at tabletopradiohour.wordpress.com, where you can also find information about our Patreon. End transmission, over and out.